Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
There's a lot changing in our world. Today, with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first, let's open our Bible to Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45, as today we study ancient Rome and the New World Order. Perhaps you've heard of that phrase. Where's it all really headed? Well, let's find out what the Bible says about events taking place right before our very eyes.
It is defined from the top of the head, Babylon, to the bottom of the toes, something that has yet to come to pass, a confederation of 10 leaders who will ultimately give power to one world leader. But let's conclude this morning by looking at the prophecy as it is developing. The prophecy developing. Now please take note, we're not saying the prophecy is fulfilled. By the way, the Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to come. We would never be so foolish to try to predict that day. We're not going to be so foolish as to try to predict which kingdoms and who is the Antichrist. But let's just see how some things are developing in the world in which we live. Notice, first of all, there is definitely a realigning of power in the world today, and it's happening very quickly. There is the realigning of power, and we see it in three ways. Number one, we see it in the lessening of national pride. The lessening of national pride. Now, whether it's the countries joining the European Union, as they have come into the European Union, they each retain their own flag, but having been to Europe a few times, the flag of the European Union is much more prominent than most of their own national flags when you visit various countries. It's always flying. But how about here in America? How many of you have noticed the lessening of patriotism in America? And if you don't believe that, just watch next time you attend a basketball game and see how many of the players put their hand over their heart during the national anthem. Just watch the next time you're at the Dodgers game and see how many people leave their hat on when red, white, and blue flag is being raised. You'll begin to recognize that people don't really care as much about America as they once did. Back in 1994, we had Dan Quayle as a guest here at our church, and I remember speaking to him about something George Bush Sr. used to always talk about, and that was the New World Order. And though I'm a member of the Republican Party as far as voting is concerned, that particular issue and sometimes other issues bothered me. And I spoke to him about it, and I said, you know, Mr. Quayle, that term, the New World Order, that your boss used quite a bit, I said, that makes me nervous. I said, the Bible speaks about a coming world order. I said, I'm much more interested in the red, white, and blue and our old-fashioned patriotism than I am in some type of New World Order. I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, every time I get around conservative Christians, they take me to task on that term, New World Order. Now, do you recognize that there are many children being raised in this country who are seeing an allegiance to planet Earth and to globalism and Mother Earth as more important than the United States of America? There is a lessening of national pride in the country, even in our country today. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States was written by a Baptist pastor, Robert Alamy. And when he wrote the pledge, One Nation Under God, he was encouraging us and reminding us that the greatness of this nation is our allegiance to God. And many of our founders would say our allegiance to God and to the Bible and the principles of the New Testament. But through history, civilization will become weaker and weaker, ultimately until the world demands a dictator who will solve their problem. Now, some of you might think that this is kind of new. And let me just tell you, it's not new at all. It's becoming more popular. This idea of the New World Order, the coming together for the sake of the economy. But listen to the words of one of my favorite politicians, Winston Churchill, a man whose biographies I've read and a man whose life I've studied. But listen to what he said in 1946, following World War II. The tragedy of Europe, he said, can only be solved if the issues of ancient nationalism and sovereignty could give way to a sense of European national grouping. He said that the path to European peace and prosperity on the world stage was clear. We must build a United States of Europe. And so the concept, again, and the world banking concepts began at the latter portion of World War II, and there's been a lessening of national pride taking place since that time. Notice number two, there's an increasing of global government concepts. There's an increasing awareness and desire for global governance. Now, the EU government is organized into three bodies. There's a parliament, there's a council of the European Union, there's a European Commission. The parliament is considered the voice of the people. And because of this, the citizens elect 785 members to the European Parliament. Now, it's very strange. We would elect our Congress, and they would represent us in Washington. But in the European countries, they have not only their national elections, but they have the European elections. And the powers of the European government are growing with every single day. I believe the European Union is making moves now to include the Arab world. In fact, the Jerusalem Post of September 4th, 2009, had an article, and it said, EU will soon agree on offering Syria closer ties. And the report said, engaging Syria is absolutely in our interest. And we see strong ties between the European Union and even terrorist states like Syria. All the while, the European Union has sanctions against Israel, which we'll study next week. They are forcing Israel to take positions against their will, and including Arab nations with terrorist ties into their fellowship, if you will. A few years ago, we were preaching in Romania, and as we left the time of preaching there with Brother Tyler and his family, we took a train up to Budapest, Hungary, and we were to catch a flight home the next day. And while we were there in Budapest, we took a walk along the Danube River, and we went to see a memorial of a place where Hitler had commanded that 100,000 Hungarians be thrown into the river after they were stripped naked of their clothing. It was a very moving sight to see the memorial. They had taken the shoes of many of these children and these adults, and they had placed them in bronze and then attached them to the walkway so that you stood at the river's edge and saw the shoes of many, many people whose lives were taken during the reign of Hitler. But as we left that site, we walked down the sidewalk and we walked inside a hotel, and we had a bite to eat there. And as we were there in the hotel, we walked up to a second floor mezzanine, and I noticed a lot of cars that had been coming into the hotel. They all had the EU flag, and they were coming in, and curiosity got a hold of me, and I went up and looked over that second floor mezzanine down below, and there was a table with maybe 40 or 50 leaders there, and they were convening for some type of a meeting, and I remember telling my wife, I said, I wonder if the Antichrist is in that room. I wonder what they're meeting about. I picked up a copy of the paper at the airport the next day on the way home, and the Budapest Times from that particular day I was there. I have the article, I believe, in your notes this morning. And I want you to listen to the words of this. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who actually, as it turned out, was in that very room we were viewing, last week called for the European Union and Russia to put their differences aside to create a major European voice that would counteract the influence of the U.S. in defining global politics. If we don't get Russia in, Europe won't have a big voice in the world, Gorbachev said while in Budapest. Notice also he said, the hour of Europe is coming in international affairs. Now that's the viewpoint from the other side of the pond, so to speak, that there needs to be a revival of European power. The hour of Europe is yet to come. The power transference taking place. Now, but what do people in our own country say? Listen to what President Obama said when he was there at a town hall meeting in France. And you can read the whole article from Time Magazine, if you like, from Strasbourg. But I quote, President Obama said, in America, there's a failure. By the way, it's a sad thing when we always have to go across the country, other countries, and talk about all of our failures. I still believe this is a great nation. And we do have some faults, but... Here's what he said. America has, here's one of our great failures, to appreciate the leading role of Europe in the world. Now, the fact of the matter is that there are many people in America who want to be a part of the IMF. They want to be a part of the World Bank. They want to be a part of this transference of power, recognizing Europe's leading role in the world. It's also very interesting to me. It was about 18 months ago or 2 years ago, David Jeremiah wrote a book on prophecy, and he said former Prime Minister Tony Blair is likely to be the first president of the Council for the European Union. And I took note of that when reading the book. Then just a few weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal was this article. UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown's government reiterated its support for former leader Tony Blair to become the first president of the European Union. This would allow the 27 countries of the European Union to have a single leader. Now, for those of you who've studied Tony Blair, you know he was a staunch ally as we were fighting in Iraq and still as we are there now. Tony Blair currently serves as what is called the Quartet Envoy to the Middle East. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know what that was until we visited the Middle East a few months ago. And I'm probably pleading my ignorance. I had never heard of the Quartet Envoy. It was something new to me. The Quartet is the following. It is the United States, Russia, the European Union, and the United Nations. So the Quartet Envoy, according to your notes there, is a group that was established in Madrid in 2002. And the envoy for the Quartet, the U.S., the European Union, Russia, and the United Nations, our envoy to the Middle East currently is Tony Blair. He's there trying to bring peace about in the region. So this man who has such strong ties to the Middle East will potentially be the first president of the EU. Now, whether or not that happens is insignificant. The significant thing is the shifting of power, the growing of power back into the Mediterranean region. That would be symbolic by the 10 toes of Daniel, the revival of the Roman Empire, the coming together of 10 global leaders and giving their power ultimately to one, an increase of global government. I believe it's happening as we speak. Notice, thirdly, there will be a quest in these last days for a global currency. A global currency. Now, when we fast forward to the coming of the Antichrist, we read in Revelation 13, 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. And many of you have heard about the mark of the beast, 666. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. But before that could ever take place, there would need to be some type of a universal monetary system in place before there could be this type of a mark given to people. And I believe the quest for global currency is something right now that's going full steam ahead. And the day in which the dollar was the standard bearer in the world is, I believe, coming to an end. And I'll give you three reasons why. First, the dollar is declining as we speak against the euro. Many experts believe within 5 years, the euro may actually replace the dollar as the standard world currency. And we see the dollar now consistently below the euro in value. Secondly, the Iranians have recently refused to accept the American dollar as payment for oil. Some believe that other Middle Eastern states may do the same. They're saying, we're not going to do business with you if it's in the dollar. Thirdly, there is a great move on from both Russia and China. In every one of these meetings, they're pushing to have a new one world currency. This is stuff that I read about in the Economist magazine way back in the late 1980s, but now it's beginning to be real-time talk at every single global meeting of financiers. Look at the quote here that is given to you from the New York Times. China urges new money reserve to replace the dollar, which began with the following. In another indication that China is growing increasingly concerned about holding huge dollar reserves, the head of its central bank has called for the eventual creation of a new international currency reserve to replace the dollar. Here's a quote from the London Times. U.S. backing for world currency stuns markets. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner shocked global markets by revealing that Washington is quite open to Chinese proposals for the gradual development of global reserve currency run by the International Monetary Fund. Now, that was in a time a little more crisis in our country, but listen, that's one of the main leaders in our president's cabinet saying, we're very open to letting the dollar be less and letting the IMF have greater influence. And all of these are indications to us that there's a realigning of power. Whereas America has been a superpower, whereas America has set the standard with the dollar, whereas America has been so involved in bringing to bear various decisions, people now are saying that day is going to end and it's going to be more of an international consensus. And we saw that back in the days when men like Tom Daschle were demanding that we go to the United Nations and seek their permission before making certain military advancements. And that concept of seeking international consensus is growing more and more, and it's creating exactly what we see in the 10 toes of Daniel. Strength mingled with weakness, a confederacy of 10 leaders as opposed to the strong nationalism we have known to this point. The realigning of power. But let's close this morning with a good positive note, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's come back to our text, verse number 34 of Daniel chapter 2. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. This then was the iron, the clay, and brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Now here we see reference to the return of the Lord. And I think it's kind of interesting if you wanted just a little reminder to encourage you about the return of the Lord. The game we know as bowling is a game that actually has its origin, some say Egypt, some say Babylon. But it is a game with 10 pins, 10 king pins, and it is a game with one ball coming down and crushing those 10 pins. And so the next time you go by a bowling alley, you just tell yourself, Jesus is coming again, all right? Because it really represents what we're talking about right now. Those 10 leaders being ultimately destroyed and taken from power by the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 2:44 says it this way, and in the days of these kings shall God, the God of heaven, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And so we see this prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the 10-toe stage is simultaneous. That is, the kingdoms will exist side by side and then will be destroyed suddenly, John Woolford says, as with a catastrophic blow. Jeremiah says he tells us that this final form of the Roman Empire will be on the earth when God sets up his kingdom. Now, 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament speak about the coming of the Lord. And remember, last week we learned to differentiate between the rapture, the catching away of the saints, and the second coming of Jesus Christ, which we believe will take place at the end of the Great Tribulation. But those kingdoms that will give their allegiance to the Antichrist. And that fulfillment will take place, I believe, during the tribulation period. But the preparation and the precursor and the negotiation and the policy making for all of that, I believe, is underway even now. And I believe that when the Lord Jesus comes, it will be in full impact, the ruling that has been set up and then handed over to the Antichrist. But our hope today is in the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Revelation 19:11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Verse 16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And my friend, I just want to encourage you that all of the shifting of power and all of the realigning and all of the changing economically and politically, we see it. We don't like the decline of patriotism. We don't like the rise of socialism. We understand that there's a lot more change than we really want to see happening. But let me just encourage you with this thought, and let me help you to be encouraged by the fact, number one, our hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as the kingdoms of this world are concerned, they were never meant to be everlasting anyways. There is one eternal kingdom, and that's the kingdom of the stone coming without hands, who will destroy the kingdoms of this world and establish his own kingdom. There's a man by the name of Isaac Watts who wrote a song 250 years ago. And I stood some years ago at his grave there in London, England. He's buried in the burial ground of the nonconformists because he was not a Catholic. And Isaac Watts wrote a song that many of you know, and we think it's about Christmas, but it really wasn't. When Isaac Watts wrote this song, Joy to the World, it was based upon Psalm 98, and it was not about Christmas. It was really about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the song says, "Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love." My friend, the world thinks right now that peace is coming. And the Bible says, when they shall say, "Peace, peace," then sudden destruction and the tribulation will take place. And how we thank God that we have been saved from that wrath to come. But after a time of great tribulation, that song that Isaac Watts wrote will come to pass. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And we thank God for the fact that our hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this question. Are you ready to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that your hope is found not in the kingdoms of this world, but in the kingdom that is to come, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we ought to vote right and do all we can to be patriotic, but the fact of the matter is the best of kingdoms have risen and have fallen, but there is one place that you want your citizenship, and that, my friend, is in the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity. And there is only one way to have citizenship in that kingdom, and that is to be born again into that kingdom. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." And when you have been born again, you can be guaranteed of this fact: you will see the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. On today's edition of Daily in the Word, he's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.